Side 10.
Where are you going?
Lex said, suddenly alarmed. Grant stepped through the door. It gave an electronic beep and snapped shut behind him on a spring. Grant was plunged into total darkness. After a moment of surprise, he turned to the door and felt its damp surface. There was no knob, no latch. He turned to the walls on either side of the door, feeling for a switch, a control box, anything at all. There was nothing. He was fighting panic when his fingers closed over a cold metal cylinder. He ran his hands over a swelling edge, a flat surface, a flashlight. He clicked it on, and the beam was surprisingly bright. He looked back at the door, but saw that it would not open. He would have to wait for the kids to unlock it. Meantime, he started for the steps. They were damp and slippery with mold, and he went down carefully. Partway down the stairs, he heard a sniffing and the sound of claws scratching on concrete. He took out his dart pistol and proceeded cautiously. The steps bent around the corner, and as he shone his light, an odd reflection glinted back. And then, a moment later, he saw it. A car. It was an electric car, like a golf cart, and it faced a long tunnel that seemed to stretch away for miles. A bright red light glowed by the steering wheel of the car, so perhaps it was charged. Grant heard the sniffing again, and he wheeled and saw a pale shape rise up toward him, leaping through the air, its jaws open, and without thinking, Grant fired. The animal landed on him, knocking him down, and he rolled away in fright, his flashlight swinging wildly. But the animal didn't get up, and he felt foolish when he saw it. It was a velociraptor, but very young, less than a year old. It was about 2 feet tall, the size of a medium dog, and it lay on the ground, breathing shallowly, the dart sticking from beneath its jaw. There was probably too much anesthetic for its body weight, and Grant pulled the dart out quickly. The velociraptor looked at him with slightly glazed eyes. Grant had a clear feeling of intelligence from this creature, a kind of softness which contrasted strangely with the menace he had felt from the adults in the pen. He stroked the head of the velociraptor, hoping to calm it. He looked down at the body, which was shivering slightly as the tranquilizer took hold, and then he saw it was a male, a young juvenile, and a male. There was no question what he was seeing. This velociraptor had been bred in the wild. Excited by this development, he hurried back up the stairs to the door. With his flashlight, he scanned the flat, featureless surface of the door and the interior walls. As he ran his hands over the door, it slowly dawned on him that he was locked inside and unable to open it unless the kids had the presence of mind to open it for him. He could hear them, faintly, on the other side of the door.
Dr. Grant! Lex shouted, pounding the door. Dr. Grant!
Take it easy, Tim said. He'll be back.
But where did he go?
Listen, Dr. Grant knows what he's doing, Tim said.
He'll be back in a minute. He should come back now,
Lex said. She bunched her fists on her hips, pushed her elbows wide. She stamped her foot angrily. And then, with a roar, the Tyrannosaur's head burst through the waterfall toward them. Tim stared in horror as the big mouth gaped wide. Lex shrieked and threw herself on the ground. The head swung back and forth and pulled out again. But Tim could see the shadow of the animal's head on the sheet of falling water. He pulled Lex deeper into the recess, just as the jaws burst through again, roaring, the thick tongue flicking in and out rapidly. Water sprayed in all directions from the head. Then it pulled out again. Lex huddled next to Tim, shivering.
I hate him, she said.
She huddled back, but the recess was only a few feet deep and crammed with machinery. There wasn't any place for them to hide. The head came through the water again, but slowly this time, and the jaw came to rest on the ground. The Tyrannosaur snorted, flaring its nostrils, breathing the air. But the eyes were still outside the sheet of water. Tim thought, he can't see us. He knows we're in here, but he can't see through the water. The Tyrannosaur sniffed.
What is he doing?
Lex said again. Shh! With a low growl, the jaws slowly opened, and the tongue snaked out. It was thick and blue-black, with a little forked indentation at the tip. It was 4 feet long and easily reached back to the far wall of the recess. The tongue slid with a rasping scrape over the filter cylinders. Tim and Lex pressed back against the pipes. The tongue moved slowly to the left, then to the right, slapping wetly against the machinery. The tip curled around the pipes and valves, sensing them. Tim saw that the tongue had muscular movements, like an elephant's trunk. The tongue drew back along the right side of the recess. It dragged against Lex's legs.
"Ew,"
Lex said. The tongue stopped. It curled, then began to rise like a snake up the side of her body.
"Don't move,"
Tim whispered. Past her face, then up along Tim's shoulder, and finally wrapping around his head. Tim squeezed his eyes shut as the slimy muscle covered his face. It was hot and wet, and it stunk like urine. Wrapped around him, the tongue began to drag him very slowly toward the open jaws.
"Timmy!"
Tim couldn't answer. His mouth was covered by the flat black tongue. He could see, but he couldn't talk. Lex tugged at his hand.
"Come on, Timmy!"
The tongue dragged him toward the snorting mouth. He felt the hot, panting breath on his legs. Lex was tugging at him, but she was no match for the muscular power that held him. Tim let go of her and pressed the tongue with both hands, trying to shove it over his head. He couldn't move it. He dug his heels into the muddy ground, but he was dragged forward anyway. Lex had wrapped her arms around his waist and was pulling backward, shouting to him, but he was powerless to do anything. He was beginning to see stars. A kind of peacefulness overcame him, a sense of peaceful inevitability as he was dragged along.
"Timmy!"
And then suddenly the tongue relaxed and uncoiled. Tim felt it slipping off his face. His body was covered in disgusting white foamy slime, and the tongue fell limply to the ground. The jaws slapped shut, biting down on the tongue. Dark blood gushed out, mixing with the mud. The nostrils still snorted in ragged breaths.
"What's he doing?"
Lex cried. And then, very slowly, the head began to slide backward, out of the recess, leaving a long scrape in the mud. And finally it disappeared entirely, and they could see only the silver sheet of falling water.